Welcome once again to Dual Wielding in episode 55. Yes, as of right now, there's a gap in our numbering. Episode 54 may or may not come out before this.
Deal with it.
If not, it's after. If there is a episode 54, as of right now, it's our bonus ghost. Thank you for that. It's our bonus ghost episode.
That was Chad.
Well, fuck you! You know what? I'll take it. Yes, I'm the one with the sick Wind Waker text alert. That's me. I'm sorry.
You can't take credit for that now.
Oh, you gave me the credit, bitch.
No, that wasn't even Wind Waker. That was Amy.
Really?
That was...
No. I have Wind Waker. You have Amy or some shit.
Okay, so while they're arguing over who's getting in trouble, let's introduce who is here this week. As you heard, since he's already been called out and thrown under the bus, we have Chad.
Ow, this bus hurts.
doing the throne, we have Anthony.
Sorry for being so popular.
And we have Daniel joining us again.
Hello.
So yeah, it's been, well, like I said, there's a mysterious episode hidden somewhere along the way, but it's been a really quiet past, like, 5 weeks in video game. So there hasn't really been much news, but we'll try to hit that as we go along. But first, there were three major demos that hit this week on various services. The Darkness 2, Kingdom of Amalur, The Reckoning, and Resident Evil Revelations, which is more important for the fact that it's the first 3DS demo. So let's start off with Darkness 2. Has anybody checked out that demo?
I played it earlier.
What were your thoughts?
I'm not a fan of the gameplay. The visual style is awesome. I love it. But the gameplay, not so much. It feels like it's trying to do a Bulletstorm where, like, the more creative kills you get, the more points you get, and use the points to upgrade yourself, which is a good concept, but... So you get, like, these, like, demon arms, and they're cool because they can pick people up and they can rip them apart in two and everything, but the controls for them, especially on the 360, because that's what I played it on, you have to hold RB, and then you have to swipe in a direction. So if you want to swipe, if you want to hit people up with them, you have to hold RB and push the stick up, which is just too much effort for not enough reward, if you ask me. I'm doing this, and it's, oh, you get 10 points. Oh, well, I can shoot people and get more than that. So what's the point?
It's really, I mean, it's a demo, so a lot of the moves you unlock, there's that whole, like, I forget what the darkness thing is called, but basically it's a skill tree, and you unlock different stuff. But I kind of agree with you, because as in the demo, stuff like you can shoot somebody that gets you like 10 points, and then you get 10 points for a headshot. You could scare them, and then you can grab them and like rip their hearts out, and that gets you 20 points. You can grab weapons, and you can impel them, that gets you 10 or 20 points or something like that.
And like some of the really cool stuff I found really hard to pull off. Like I thought the game says you can pick people up, and I was like, yes. So I started picking people up, and I was like, right, you are going right in your friend's face. And so I threw this guy at his friend, and it hit him. I saw the two guys collide with each other, and I didn't get any extra points for it. And I was like, what? And the other guy didn't fall over. So I kept trying it, and eventually it worked, but I still didn't get very many points for it.
No, you don't get many points. You get like 10 points, and I think that might be an issue that I ought to just add up. The other thing, and this is, you know, it makes sense for a game called The Darkness, but I find it more tedious than fun or charming, is the fact that your darkness power doesn't work in the night.
Yeah, so I was either just straight out avoiding the light, and which makes the darkness powers useless, because people will stand in the light, and your darkness powers are pretty much melee only. Or, you know, most of the time I just thought, screw it, I'll just shoot him. I'm not going to bother shooting out the light and then picking them up with my darkness powers if it's just going to give me the same amount of points for shooting them.
Yeah, and I mean, especially like the one of the parts in the demo, the final part really, is like in the train station, and like everybody's underneath the light.
Yeah.
So like you have people shooting you, but you're trying to shoot out the light so you can actually get close to them to do anything. But then it's like, oh, you know, I'm wasting my bullets, because you get a limited amount of bullets. I think most guns, you can upgrade it, but like, the pistol and stuff holds like 30 shots in it, which isn't much for a shooter, but you know, they don't really want you to shoot that much.
They want you to use your darkness powers, but they give you no reason to actually use them when guns are just as effective.
Yeah. The only thing I would, like I said, I think you get 20 points more if you can, if you're able, you get like 10 points more if you're able to scare them. But like I said, I assume that opens up as you go further in the game and open up more of your darkness powers.
And then also that's another thing that sort of, that I had, like, I noticed is, I've got these giant fucking black snakes coming out of, presumably my back, and I pick this guy up, and I rip him in two, and the guy behind him is still shooting at me. He's not running away or anything. He's not scared as hell. He's just still shooting at me. I don't know about you guys, but if I saw that happen to my friend, I would be out of there.
Well, it's a good thing they aren't your friends. But yeah, you mentioned the art style. I kind of dig it, but I also think that it's like it's really soft shell shading, yeah, where sometimes you really see it, and other times it just doesn't look like they applied it there.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot of Borderlands, which is only a good thing. In fact, I think the art style was better executed in the Darkness 2 than it was in Borderlands. It looks a lot better in Darkness 2. But other than that, I'm not a fan of the gameplay. I think it's not as fluid as Bulletstorm was, because Bulletstorm is just, you get a few simple things and you chain them together and you can see like points, you can rack up points all over the place and it's really rewarding, whereas it's not really rewarding at all for me.
I think, you know, it's a different type of shooter, which is always nice. I won't buy it just because it's a different type of shooter, but it's nice that somebody's doing it. What about Chad and Anthony? Did either one of you check out the Darkness 2 demo?
Can't say I did. No. I had other things, including school, but trying out a couple other games too.
Okay.
I didn't play the first one, so I feel like anything I would have to say about the second one would be irrelevant, and I also really don't care about it at all. So.
Well, I didn't play the first one. I don't really care about the Darkness 2 anyway, either, but I thought I would play it anyway.
Yeah, I mean, demos are free. The worst that can happen is you end up wasting hard drive space.
Terrible situation.
Well, it depends on your system. Now I don't mind when my PS3 is like 250 and my Xbox 120. Back when I had 20 and 40, that was an issue.
The dark ages.
Yeah, I guess September before both of my systems went to crap. The other thing was Kingdom Amalia: The Reckoning, which is out on PS3 and 360. Did anybody get a chance to check that out?
I downloaded the PC demo, and first of all, I'm not going to buy it because it's an EA game. I'm not buying EA games anymore. I'm done with that. And second of all, the combat wasn't too good. Like, it needs more polish, but it reminds me a lot of the original Fable, and that's what I like about it. I think if Fable 3 had become Kingdoms of Amalur, I may have liked it a lot more, but it didn't, so.
Yeah, I think Fable is the comparison a lot of people have made. Personally speaking, I've never played a Fable game, so I can't make the comparison. Well, it seems to be a fairly decent, I guess, RPG-ish thing. It's kind of, you know, it's very basic beat-em-up combat. I like that you can have different elemental weapons and, you know, like you get the fire staff and you get, like, short blades and you get, you know, like different weapons. Sorry, I'm getting distracted by this picture Anthony sent. What is this?
I may or may not have sent the members of this podcast a picture of some guy at the Zelda Symphony Orchestra I went to on January 10th. To give you, the listener, a little mental image, picture this ladies' man right here. He is wearing a maroon dress shirt, rolled the sleeves up like a playa, and what color is that vest? We'll say it's gray vest. Okay, so gray vest. So purplish maroon dress shirt with a gray vest, sleeves rolled up, maroon bow tie, coming all together with some blue jean shorts that rise just above the kneecap.
I believe the technical term is jorts, actually.
Jorts. Jorts. So he's got some jorts rising just above the kneecap, which gives way to his, they call chicken legs, I think. And he has some Nike sneakers and some socks that rise about 3 inches above his ankles. So, ladies, you better jump on that before he gets snatched up.
I gotta be honest, I'm a straight man, and even I kinda wanna fuck him a little bit.
Well, you can see that guy to the left is probably getting there first.
Yeah, clearly. And I don't wanna fight him for it, Jesus. Squish me.
Oh, eat you. But moving along, well, I forgot where I was. Oh, Kingdoms of Amalur, which I'm pretty sure I'm butchering the name, but whatever. What I do like about it from the demo, and I was like, you're playing, I was one of the few people who didn't crash on, is, I like how it's set up where, like, you're a dead man come back to life. And that's kind of how you develop your character, you know, your name, your skill, you know, you get like, 5 different characters you can pick from it. And I think it has a nice sense of humor about itself, it doesn't take itself too seriously. Other than that, I really don't know anything that stands out.
Yeah, it just felt like a sort of been there, done that, run-of-the-mill fantasy RPG to me.
Yeah, and I think at this point, it's... And not to say it's a genre that's overwhelming with content, but there's much better content out there on the market right now. So you don't need to settle because it's one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely echo most of those sentiments. It is... It's... Like, it's very Fable-ish without the actual rhythmic battling, I would say.
Yeah.
I find the art style really reminds me a lot of WoW, like a up-resed WoW, almost. Like, it's got
yeah,
that
I can
style.
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from there.
But, I mean, it's... There's nothing aggressively bothersome about it. Like, I don't mind it, and I would totally play it. But I don't think it's anything I'd ever go out of my way to get either.
The problem is nothing that really stands out about it. Either.
Exactly. It's pure apathy is pretty much the best way to describe my feelings towards this game.
And it's funny when you consider that there are $200 collector's editions for this game.
Well, I mean, I guess they figure they can sell it on the names of those involved.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't know.
And since we didn't mention this, I don't think we talked about the last week either, is that it actually unlocks content in the Mass Effect 3 game.
Yeah, I finished the demo, and it's like, you've now got this, this, and this in Mass Effect 3, and I'm like, yeah, that's implying I'm going to buy it, which, of course, I'm not going to. So.
Well, you know, on account of all the crossover between people who play both games.
Here's the hilarious thing about Kingdoms of Amalur, right? So EA were complaining that Steam is too restrictive and they can't do whatever they want with their games on Steam. And then they release Kingdoms of Amalur on Steam with TF2 promos. You can't have your cake and eat it, EA. You either have one stance or another. Come
on. They can, and they try. But yeah, it unlocks content in Mass Effect 3 and then Mass Effect 3 demo, which hits February 14th. So I feel sorry for girls on Valentine's Day this year. Unlocks content in this game when it comes out. In addition, both of them also unlock content in their actual game when you buy the retail copy of it. You unlock some type of cards or something in this.
And you get some cool TF2 hats if you pre-order it on Steam.
There you go. And the final demo out this week, as I mentioned before, is the first demo for the 3DS, at least in the States, and I think it came out in Europe with Cookamama 4. It's Resident Evil Revelations. Anthony, have you had a chance to check this out?
Revelations?
Yes.
Yes, I did, actually. I mean, it looks great. It definitely looks great, but this is one game I actually have when you go into the settings, you can adjust how intense the 3D gets, and I just had it on normal for the maximum, but it's something you don't really need 3D for, but it certainly looks good, especially on a small screen.
Wait, so they have 3D, you can compensate the 3D with 3D, so you can do it twice now.
Yes, and they do that and they've done that in a few games now. I'm trying to think of the other one. It's not coming to mind. They do that in some of the 3D classics like Xevious. You can make it more. It basically adjusts the maximum amount of 3D depth. You'll notice that in Super Mario 3D Land, if you push up on the D-pad or down on the D-pad, if you push up on the D-pad, it looks like Mario's coming out of the screen. If you push down on the D-pad, it looks like everything gets pushed about, you know, an inch into the screen. But that's actually just changing the maximum level 3D depth. So that's something that this Resident Evil is going to offer. You can have a normal maximum 3D depth. I guess they just, if you don't, you know, care about adjusting the slider, you can have normal, high, very high, stuff like that. but I didn't end up using the 3D much. I liked it without it. I'll be honest here. I've only played, as far as Resident Evil goes, the action genre Resident Evil. I've only played Resident Evil 4 on the Wii, and going from using the Wii remote to point and shoot to back to, you know, analog control is a little bit tougher, especially when the enemies in the game are they're almost dancing side to side, so headshots are, you know, damn near impossible, and it's not a very powerful gun, so you'll be wasting ammo, and eventually you'll just be hoping that your knife takes them out. But especially when you, and you know, we'll talk about this a little bit later with Resident Evil 6 and how action-packed that looked. This is going back to a little bit more of the survival horror aspect with, there's no running, you know, it's kind of back to tank controls again. But, it makes it more suspenseful. And it harkens back to something that Resident Evil did a little bit better. Whereas, you know, now, as far as action stuff goes, Dead Space, I think takes that cake.
Okay. Yeah, I checked it out. Did you check out the gyro controls?
Oh, not yet. You told me about that, but I haven't booted it up again.
And I guess, you know, this will also tie in while we're talking about it, is that this also, because it's Nintendo being Nintendo, this comes with a 30-play limit, which means you can only split up.
Wait, just for clarification, is this a demo-wide thing on the 3DS, or is it just this one demo?
It seems to be a demo-wide thing.
Oh, right, okay. So I can't blame Capcom for it.
No, you can't.
What other demos are? Because this is the only full retail demo that's been out on 3DS. I mean, you can obviously, for example,
in the States.
Yeah.
There's Cookie Mama 4 in Europe, but I don't have the 3DS, right. And I can't.
Yeah. There's Cookie Mama in the in Europe, and there's also been there's Monster Hunter, there's Ace Combat, there's Resident Evil, there's Cookie Mama, there's Their Rhythm, Final Fantasy in Japan.
Rayman's coming out soon. I know that for a demo.
Yeah. Next week is Mario and Sonic at the Winter, you know, 2012 Olympic Games. As far as I know, most of them have 30. I think I've read that Ace Combat in Japan has 3.
I don't see the point. Honestly, I don't get it. Because you're already incredibly limited by what the content that's in the demo anyway.
I don't want to defend it. I don't necessarily think it's a huge deal.
It's not a huge deal, but it's just an annoying inconvenience that shouldn't be there.
Yeah, it's kind of that, like, why is it there type. And the only thing I can think of is that they really don't want people to just keep on playing the demo. And I know that seems like, you know, that seems pretty pointless.
Have you ever had a case where you've played a demo 30 times and then bought the game?
But I think that's the thing. It's like, they don't want people to say, like, maybe later on when they kind of release, you know, like, games you can kind of pick up and play, like, I don't think they want people to say, oh, yeah, I played this 30 times and that was that.
I'm wondering if that number resets if you uninstall and reinstall the game.
I honestly don't know anybody who's reached the 30 limit yet.
I'll go ahead and do that while we're talking.
You're gonna reach the 30 limit?
No, I'm gonna uninstall, reinstall.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, it's like I said, it's not a huge deal break, it's just a really odd decision by Nintendo. We'll see if it comes back to hurt them, but I honestly don't think that. If you play a demo 30 times and don't get a feel for the game, then it's not 30 full playthroughs, it's not 30, you know...
30 sessions, isn't it? So you could play for 2 seconds and then back out and that's one...
Yeah, but on the flip side, you can also put it in sleep mode. And that would still count as... Yeah. So that would still count as one session. So it's kind of one of those things where, it's not a deal breaker, but it's also a really odd decision on their behalf. We'll see if it hurts them. I'm really curious to see if they have a Kid Icarus one as well, because I think that's a game that's gonna need.
I'm sure Kid Icarus will find its way into the actual, you know, 3DS kiosks in the stores.
Yeah, but I hate kiosks. It's they're always so terrible, and the only time I think I mentioned this before with Uncharted 3, is where I beat Uncharted 3, and I went to Best Buy one day, and I was waiting around for a friend. I'm like, I'm just going to show off, because I've already beat this game, and it was on a plot I knew well. So I'm like, oh, it just makes me become a great ex. And people actually stood there like, oh, wow, he did that. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm just great at this game.
No big deal.
But yes, it's an interesting demo, and it does go back to the survival horror roots, which I think a lot of people are happy with. And, I mean, just to transition that, Especially being that they came out the same day that Capcom announced Resident Evil 6. And the reaction to that has been very, very mixed at best. There are people, I mean, I think the thing that most people seem to be calling it is Gears of War Resident Evil Edition.
There wasn't much gameplay footage in the trailer.
But from what they did see, like, you have sight in the cover, you know, you have a cover system.
It definitely looks a lot more action-based from the trailer, but, yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I know a lot of people that are looking forward to it, despite they've been critical of Capcom making the most recent Resident Evil's action-based, but, you know.
Well, I think, and this is Capcom's thinking, and from a business point of view, it makes sense. Resident Evil 5 is the best-selling game in the franchise.
Yeah.
It only makes sense to follow that route and not go back to the survival horror genre, because if 5 is your best-selling one, that's what people want to play. So you go with that. I think 5 is the best-selling one because so many people were up 4, and this was multi-platform.
Yeah, that's true.
Where 4 was kind of exclusive to the GameCube and then the PS2, so you kind of had that staggered release. But this is the 360 and PS3. The other thing, and this is something they're not taken away from, Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 5 were both first quarter releases. I think Resident Evil 4 was like January, and Resident Evil 5 was January or February as well. This is November. This is like right in the middle of that crunch time, and it's going to be a really jam-packed year. Well, not right now, but I assume...
Well, there's going to be a Call of Duty releasing in November.
There's always a Call of Duty.
There's always a Call of Duty.
The other thing is, based on historical precedent, this will most likely be the Wii U's weekend, because this is the Tuesday before Thanksgiving, and Nintendo has a habit of releasing their big game that Sunday before Thanksgiving. You know, Zelda, Metroid Prime, Super Mario Galaxy, Animal Crossing, not all of them were great decisions. Donkey Kong Country Returns and stuff like that. So, if anything, if the Wii U's having a fall release, November 18th would be the most likely date. I mean, on one hand, this could be good, you know, if Resident Evil 6 is a potential launch title for them. On the other, you don't want to kind of be enveloped by this whole Call of Duty and then a new system launch right before you, because then you're really, really the backstory of the month. Aside from that, it also seems to be it's co-op, which, again, is one of my favorite things from 5. But it has 3 different storylines, which seems like you can either do... It's either 3 parallel storylines you can do, or I guess you can do them separately, and they'll cross over at the end. I've never really been a fan of that. That's kind of how Sonic Adventures worked.
A lot of the time you get disjointed stories as well that way.
Yeah. And sometimes, like, you'll have it so, like, oh, you can play it in any order, but there's a specific order that it kind of makes sense in. Transformers World for Cybertron is like that, where you can pair the Decepticons or the Autobots in either order, but the Autobot story finishes the Decepticon story, so if you did that, you actually see the end of the game, and then you go back and build up to the midpoint, so it's kind of weird in that regard. We'll see how they flesh it out, but... I mean, personally speaking, I'm excited for it. Resident Evil 5 is my personal favorite in the franchise because I do kind of enjoy the combination of action with horror. Granted, this doesn't really show that horror aspect to it, but I'm sure they're just saving that.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
We'll have to
see. Because it's also possible that it's just not there anymore.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's kind of the thing, though, is that I think it's hard to sometimes show horror in a 2-minute trailer. Just because so much of horror is based on your expectations and your environment. So they'd have to strike one long scene or kind of cut it, like how they cut the Resident Evil Revelations trailer, but even that shows a lot of gameplay footage. So we'll see how they do it going along and, you know, actually see more gameplay from the actual game. Anybody, anything else on Resident Evil 6?
Resident Evil, that's the one where you shoot the zombies, right?
Actually,
the mutants, not zombies, mutants.
But
okay, yeah, still don't care.
Six does bring back zombies. So is that. And I mean, just real quick, does this hamper in any way Resident Evil Revelations, and more importantly, Resident Evil, what is it, Operation Raccoon City?
I think that's it.
Yeah. Because I think, I mean, Operation Raccoon City was supposed to be that action, that completely action-driven for Dead Clone, and now you kind of have that with this 6. Like, it makes no sense to buy it.
We'll have to see, because we don't know.
Well, I mean, Operation Raccoon City is out next month.
Yeah, we'll have to, but we need more information on Resi 6 before we can say anything, to be honest, because...
It's also kind of weird. I think this will be the 5th Resident Evil game in 18 months.
What? Capcom loves doing that.
So, and that's not even counting the re-releases of Resident Evil 4, Code Veronica, or the Darkseid Chronicles on PSN. So yeah. Speaking of Sony, the PlayStation Vita, and we touched on this last week as well, but, you know, that episode's missing, has dipped below 20,000 for its first week in Japan, which is kind of troubling since it's only the system's 5th week on the market, and that's a pretty far fall.
Well, put it this way, there's one more little note on that, is that the PSP sold better than that the Vita that week.
Yeah, as of right now, the PSP would be outpacing the Vita based on launch alignment, which is, I think, to explain this, and we kind of touched on this last week. I mean, I don't like to, you know, the PS Vita isn't doomed, it's not dead, it's not dying. On the other hand, you can't say, oh, it's going to do fine.
No, it's not doing very well. I think that is a sign of the pressure that mobile phones have got now, because a lot more people than I expected have said, you know, I've got an iPhone, I've got an iPad, I've got an Android phone, I'll play my games out and about on that. Why do I need another thing in my pocket?
I still think the people that were interested in mobile games, that were, you know, buying the PSP, aren't going to be turned off by those mobile phones. I think definitely the mobile phones are expanding the market for sure, but I mean, when it comes down to it again, look at the price of the Vita. I mean, I forget what the yen translation, but here it's $250, and then the memory cards, and then games are console price.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's those things that are obviously, you know, putting a stop to it, but, you know, in Japan...
And a lot of people, you know, you see a phone that you've already got in your pocket, and all the games on it are like $4.99 each, and you get something like, you can get GTA 3 for $4.99, $5, $6.
Yeah.
Then again, you've got this system that costs $250, and you've got to buy a memory card, and you've got to buy another game on top of that for $60 each.
That drives me to another tangent, just like that double-edged, you know, the catch-22 is that people are saying, well, yeah, obviously you would want to, you know, develop for iPhone, look how much they sell and the prices there, but if it was a brand new experience with a new IP that put that much development power into it, would you see many of those games on iOS selling for $5 if they didn't have the groundwork laid for consoles or handhelds?
And I think that's always the thing. I mean, if, for example, it's a growing market, but it's not a revenue stream right now, or it's not a one that can sustain a big company like EA or Ubisoft or Activision. Like, if you're a startup, fine, but like Angry Birds, for example, I think Revio is worth billions, or like $1 billion now because of their stock option, but I think Angry Bird itself has already generated like $50 million in profit, and that's over like 350 million downloads or something like that.
And it's not that Angry Birds is a fantastic game that's just amazing and, you know, everyone should go over to mobile. It wasn't that it's the best one out there still. It's that they were the first. They were the first in this, you know, this new sensation of mobile gaming and, you know, iPhone, iPod Touch, Android. They were the first. And if people are going to get, like, a new cool game, it's always going to be Angry Birds. So it's because they were first that's selling.
Yeah, and it happens. Because, I mean, I'm sure you can talk to most people, and they'll probably give you the same. Like, what games do you play on your phone? Angry Birds, Cut the Rope, Fruit Ninja. And it's kind of like, it's like the golden trinity. You hear those. You hear Words with Friends, Hang with Friends, Now Scramble with Friends, stuff like that. And it's those type of games. But then, like, once you get past that level, what else is there? And that's more of a personal thing. And then you can't sell that if, like, 5 people are picking up your game. Or, like, I know Anthony and I have Android phones. If you get them for free on Amazon, nobody's making a profit off of that.
Right.
But, yeah, getting back to the Vita, I will say that the price is an issue. I think the price is always something you can overcome if you have a compelling reason to. And I think the problem is that the Vita... And this is going to be something I'm curious to see once we hit March and April in the States. But the Vita has a really strong on China. But
is it strong for Japan? It's certainly strong for the Western audience.
Yeah.
It's not strong for Japan. And I think we're going to see in the West that it's strong because it has a bunch of good titles. It has no exceptional titles. And I think that's going to be the problem with the Vita's first year, is it doesn't have that one title you can hang your hat up on and say, this is a title I need to play on the go. The other thing that we're seeing with the Vita, and I'm curious to see if it carries over to the States and Europe, is the fact that because there's like 20, 25 launch titles, they're pretty much cannibalizing each other's sales so that nothing really sells remarkable because you're spread out.
You've oversaturated the market and it's just come out.
Yeah, I think, you're going to have to find a middle ground between the 3DS, which, didn't have the best launch lineup, and the Vita, which has too many launch titles. I think ideally what you kind of want is kind of maybe 10 launch titles.
I would say three or four, Uncharted, three or four puzzle games.
See, I wouldn't even go that far. I would go with one Uncharted, and then they get, nine B-tier titles. You need one career app, bunch of small titles, and then you kind of have every week or so you kind of have another set of titles come out. Yeah. So if the system's kind of getting support steady, instead of saying here's 25 titles, now you wait a month until the next one comes out and it's not that impressive. And that's exactly what happened to 3DS. On paper, I don't think the 3DS launch lineup was awful, as people pointed out to be. I think it just didn't have one of Nintendo's big titles for people to say, here's Zelda, here's Mario, here's Metroid, here's Pokemon. But it had a bunch of decent titles, and then you kind of had decent titles drop. And then the first major title was a remake. The second major title was a remake. And that's kind of where it's been 8 months. We got two remakes and a bunch of decent titles. Where the Vita is we have a bunch of decent titles, but nothing that we want to buy the system for yet. Like I said, I don't want to proclaim it doomed. On the other hand, I hate when people say, it's going to be fine. The 3DS is fine. The 3DS is fine because Nintendo dropped $80 off of the price.
Sony's not going to do that.
And I don't think Sony's in a position to do that. You saw how much Nintendo lost when they did that, and Sony doesn't really have that much to lose. And they don't have 20 games to give away for free. The other thing is, and I think we mentioned this on the show, is that at the end of the road, the 3DS had Mario and Mario Kart as the silver lining. It's, it's gold at the end of the rainbow. The Vita right now doesn't. I mean, the closest thing people have so far is Call of Duty. And even then, if it's an original Call of Duty, maybe, but if it's a port of a Call of Duty, I guess this would be Black Ops here. If it's a port of Black Ops 2 onto the Vita, you're going to... One, the PlayStation isn't the dominant platform for that franchise, so you're going to have to convert Xbox gamers to your PlayStation brand and then get them to go on the handheld device.
And they'll go, why don't I just play this on my Xbox?
Yeah, and that's the other thing. So it's going to be a rough year for them, but, I do... One, I hope they do well just because I'm so tired of hearing how cell phones are killing everything. I'm not saying that cell phones aren't, but I think it's the same thing with PC gaming, where people play Facebook games. That doesn't mean people aren't buying consoles anymore.
Sure.
And you can do both. I love cell phone. I love mobile games. I have a ton of them on my phone. I have a ton of them on my tablet. They're great to pick up and play when I need 5 or 10 minutes to waste. That doesn't mean I'm against handhelds. I actually enjoy my 3DS now. And this is actually something I was asking about yesterday, and I don't know how many of you followed the Vita. Does Nier have any type of social aspects like the 3DS?
Does Vita?
Because, yeah.
Yeah, I know it has plenty. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't name them right now. I just remember one of their first, marketing efforts didn't even make it look like a gaming device. It made it look like a completely social device.
Well, I know they had Nier, which is kind of if your friends are there, you can see what they're playing and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. But I'm talking more with the 3DS, I got my 3DS during the summer, and I knew I wasn't going to get any games for it until Mario came out. But between the Spot Pass, Street Pass, and the coins, I always had a reason to carry my 3DS with me, because it rewarded you with, you got hats and Find Me, you got puzzle pieces and stuff like that. So there was always a reason, because it has that game element to it. I don't know if Nier has that, and I think that would be something, if anything, I would copy from Nintendo, is the fact that you give people a reason to carry around their system.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I also beat Find Me for the second time, so
isn't
I
isn't there a reason to carry around your Vita, your 3G data plan, which you forked out for every month?
Yeah, so the $50 I paid in addition to buying
yeah.
it, $25 I paid because I have a 3G plan on my cell phone, and my internet provider also provides free wires in their network. And this is New York City, where there's a Starbucks in every corner that offers free Wi-Fi. So, there we go. You're moving forward, I guess. Did anybody check out the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer footage from Game Choice?
I was watching GTTV, but I must have missed it. I saw some other multiplayer footage, and it just looks like, you know, mediocre deathmatch, which I'm not going to play that.
Well, I mean, if I'm not mistaken, they're trying something different with it, where they're combining. You use the multiplayer and you're able to unlock stuff in the single-player game as well?
Well, that's the worst thing. That's the worst thing. I don't want to have to play the multiplayer to get something in the single-player for a single-player game.
Well, I mean, the alternative would be an online pass, but then again, this is EA, so I assume this has an online pass as well.
I don't want... I play Mass Effect. I've played I know a lot of people that got invested in Mass Effect because it was a single-player game, and not for any other reason. And BioWare saying that multiplayer is integral to the experience is a load of shit, because it is. I don't know anyone who's actually excited for the multiplayer in Mass Effect 3. I don't know anyone who cares about it.
Well, I mean, to be fair, nobody has played it.
Look how Dead Space's multiplayer turned out. Did anyone even play it?
I was going to say, just like Dead Space.
Wasn't it pretty good, though?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that great.
It was basically a poor man's effort.
Yeah. Dead.
You had the necromorphs, and then you had people as humans, and you took turns, and there was objectives and stuff like that. I was going to say that, much like Dead Space 2, EA is going to have an online demo for this game February 14th, so, I mean, that would be the time to try it out. I do think the problem is going to be, and this is always an issue, is when you have a multiplayer game where different classes have different abilities, especially if you have to unlock them, so it might be unbalanced where some people might, you know, like focus on one class.
There are some aspects of Battlefield 3 that prove that does not work very well. So if you get in a plane, if you've just bought Battlefield 3 and you think, oh, I'm going to play the multiplayer now, I want to get in a jet because jets are awesome. You start off without any countermeasures. So if somebody shoots a homing rocket at you, there's nothing you can do unless you pull off some advanced maneuver. But you're only going to be able to do that is if you've had practice in a jet. So, you know, I can see there being a tightrope in Mass Effect 3's multiplayer where one class may be more advantageous.
Yeah. I mean, the only game I could think of that really got it well in that was because it focused on the different characters and how they balance each other out is Team Fortress 2.
Yeah. Now we've got Valve adding items all the time, and some of the items just, they're so gimmicky that they just throw the balance out sometimes. And, you know, not even, Valve have concentrated on adding stuff. It's a tightrope that even Valve are tripping on.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I guess the other game would be Monday Night Combat, which I think does a decent job with making sure each class is valuable.
Monday Night Combat, yeah, especially in the sequel, they did a lot. They've done a lot of effort in the second Monday Night Combat.
Did they call the second Monday Night Combat Tuesday Night Combat? Please say that.
No, it's Super Monday Night Combat.
Okay. And then, of course, you're going to have Monday Night Combat 64, and then Monday Night Combat Wii.
Monday Night Combat DS.
And then you have Monday Night Combat.
Yeah, Monday Night Combat is a good example. And numerous games like all of the sort of Dota games are good examples of that as well.
Another game that has really RG added multiplayer, a new trailer and more details this week was Kid Icarus Uprising, which I believe is out sometime in April. I don't think they've given an official release date yet. Has anybody seen the new trailer for this game?
I haven't. I'm not really invested in many of... If it's not Pokemon, it usually goes straight over my head.
Well, I don't know many people who are actually invested in Kid Icarus. I mean, there's been like two games in the franchise, and they're both like 20 years old, and the second one was a Game Boy game. So it's a very dormant franchise, but it's Nintendo and Sakura. Whoever did Smash Bros.
No, it was Sakurai. Masahiro Sakurai.
Yeah, there we go. So, you know, people are excited for it. It's always like a really odd game to me. I will say I've gotten used to the voice acting. It seems like they're going for a really cheesy Saturday morning type feel with it. And if that's what their intentions is, and if it's not melodrama that's just really fully acted, I'm fine with that. Though it does seem like each stage is split up into, like, you have a real shooting part and then you have a part on foot. It's kind of like Star Fox, I guess, in that regard. The thing is, and the most interesting thing, I guess, from this past week is if you play The World Ends With You, it kind of uses that betting system where you have a scale of 1 to 10, and before each stage, you're able to set it anywhere from 1 to 10. And, you know, that raises the difficulty of the stage. But the higher the difficulty, the more points you get, and the better chances of finding weapons are, because Kid Icarus is able to equip various weapons throughout the game. So that's kind of a neat thing, where you kind of have, like, a rolling difficulty in the game.
What's in the trailer now? It actually looks pretty interesting. It looks fairly varied in this gameplay, actually.
I didn't care at all until you wanted to bring The World Ends With You into the discussion, and now I'm listening.
If that's all it took, I assume you want to get Kingdom Hearts 3D then. Well, it has the two main characters from The World Ends With You.
I know. Don't remind me, because you'll break my will.
It could be worse. Kid Icarus is what it is. It just went gold this past week, so that means it's done, which means that they're hopefully moving on to Super Smash Bros. Well, that is what they're moving on to, but we'll see that. Max Payne got delayed into May of this year, which isn't surprising because May seems to be Take-Two Rockstar's month. I mean, that's when we got Red Dead Redemption, when we got L.A. Noire. Technically speaking, GTA 4 was an April release, but that seems to be their month. But with that delayed, a lot of people are just assuming that it means GTA 5 is not coming out this year.
I thought that was I assumed that already, because they already have a game coming out this year.
Well, I think what happened was because everybody has it differently, but I think most financial quarters end in March, so originally Max Payne was a March release, so that would mean that GTA 5 was for next financial quarter. But I guess they didn't need it, so they moved it, and then that's their kind of big release. And I think there was a lot of people, and, you know, again, it's people being people, where they dissected the GTA 5 trailer and were like, oh, it hints at a such and such a date because the license plate on this car and the address on this house
had
these numbers. Hey, it is what it is. I hope when people do it, because it's such, you get the most batshit insane theories about the smallest of details. Which I assume they do just to piss people off that they dissect it. I mean, IGN has a whole feature about dissecting trailers and stuff like that.
Rewind Theater?
Yeah.
And, How do they do that? Do they play it straight or do they go a little crazy with it?
They go crazy.
They play it straight and then they'll say, oh, did you catch that? Then they'll slow it down and they'll show you. Or they'll bring up like a picture, you know, alongside the picture to show you the similarities and stuff like that. With Resident Evil 6, I remember reading M4G, there was like 10 articles about some details you might have missed in the Resident Evil 6 trailer. Here's a breakdown of the Resident Evil 6 trailer, where we go second by second with the Resident Evil 6 trailer and stuff like that. Part of it, and, you know, with N4G, it's always a crapshoot. I think part of it with a lot of smaller sites is that it's just a way to get attention and hits for fans. It's just a way to kind of digest this one morsel that you get, and you know you probably won't get much else until Captivate in April. So there's that. Is anybody here excited for Max Payne?
Not particularly. I'm not a Max Payne sort of person. There's if it was GTA, then I'd be more excited for it, but it's not GTA, so.
There's no Saints Row either.
I mean, sure, it's going to be a quality game. It's just, It's just never been down my alley. I never invested in it.
Fair enough. Finally, Bioshock gets the 1999 mode, which, from what I read, and I've already been skimming it because I got kind of bored, it seems to be like a classic mode in GoldenEye Wii, where you kind of have, like, they're just trying to take it back for old school gamers to give them an extra challenge.
Yeah, so it's supposed to sort of harken back a little bit more to System Shock 2, because a lot of people weren't very happy with the changes they made between System Shock 2 and Bioshock, even though they're not the same thing. So, I mean, if you know, you're appeasing a fan, so there's nothing bad about it. It might give me another, give everyone another reason to play through the game again.
Yeah, as long as you give, I mean, as long as you give people the option to play it normally, I'm fine with that. I think, you know, it's an added challenge. It's kind of a, I mean, Nintendo does it too, I guess. They don't call it anything, but like, what is it, Goddess mode in Skyward Sword, where you can go through and you can't regain any health except if you have like an amulet or, yeah, hero mode, there you go. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, and again, GoldenEye did it, and again, you know, it's the highest difficulty, and it's just like, oh, you can get health packs and stuff like that. But it doesn't harp, you know, it doesn't stop you from playing the game normally, so I'm all for it.
Yeah, so
I think that's it for news, except if you folks have anything else to add.
Nope.
Okay. Ben, these aren't questions from the audience. I just was, when I was thinking of them, I was reading them on the forum, but somebody asked, do you think that Microsoft and Sony should add more buttons to the controller next generation?
What for?
No.
I don't think they need to add more, but they definitely don't need to take any away.
I think the initial reason for the question was because I think somebody was complaining about the fact that a lot of buttons are sometimes multitasked. You know, like they're context sensitive, like sometimes.
I think what they should do is instead give us the ability, I mean, this is not a problem with Microsoft and Sony, but developers need to give us a choice on what buttons we map to what, because there's no reason why not. If you can do it on a PC game, there's no reason why you can't do it on a console game.
Yeah, and that was kind of, I was something I was happy with. The conduit did that well. We could map anything to everything on his, except for movement, I think, was always analog stick, but why else would you change that?
I think that some publisher, some console developer needs to take away the controller entirely and make you the controller and have whatever motions you make turn into buttons that happen on screen.
That's impossible. What are you even talking about? That could never happen.
The future.
One suggestion I did see, which I can kind of see Sony going with, or even Microsoft, but I would assume Sony because this is kind of up their alley, is add in rear touch to their controller, so you kind of have extra input, but you still have your hands on the controller without making. And I mean, it's something they toyed with the Vita, and it kind of makes sense where, you know.
Well, there are controllers. There are modded controllers out there already. That if say you've got an Xbox 360 controller. There are no face buttons. The A, B, X, and Y are all on the back where your hands rest, so you don't have to move any of your fingers in order to press them. So, you know, it could be an idea.
Yeah, and it wouldn't go completely towards it, but it's kind of the same thing with like the six axis, where like if Nintendo has a controller that's touch screen with a giant screen, this is kind of one way to kind of, you know, target that market with having touch on your thing without really redesigning the DualShock, because Sony seems really against redesigning that controller for some reason.
Well, look what happened when they did try. They got crucified.
I, for one, would have wanted to try the boomerang.
I thought it was cool.
I mean, personally speaking, I'm not a huge fan of the DualShock 3. I still think that R2 and L2 buttons are like cheap toys. I always feel like they're going to break off on me. And I don't like the analog stick placements. I don't know.
So basically what you're saying is you want an Xbox 360 controller with a good D-pad.
Oh, I've said I prefer the Xbox 360 controller.
Oh, I can understand that, because I prefer the 360 controller as well. But
I mean, honestly, going forward, and I doubt either one of them are going to do it, but I would actually, if they're going to continue with this, I would like a fit controller. I think the fit controller is one of the greatest designs of the Wiimote, is that you can kind of keep, you know, like, there's no reason your hands have to be together all the time.
Yeah.
I like the DualShock. Not so much the DualShock 3, because I don't think the triggers are as good, but a DualShock 3 with proper triggers, I would really like.
So, a DualShock 2.
Basically.
And the other question, which I guess you can kind of end on, and it makes sense being that we're so close to the end of the year, is do you think Nintendo supported the Wii properly?
No.
I'm sorry, they can't hear you over the sound of their Scrooge McDuck swimming pool full of money. Yeah, I think they supported it pretty well.
I mean, last year was a little bit questionable just because of lack of releases, but when you're talking about supporting, you know, the system, they eventually did cater to everyone, and as far as supporting, just look towards Wii U, the fact that they're still, you know, piggybacking on that name, and all the peripherals are still going to be usable on the console. I mean, GameCube is finally getting the kick, just like it got the kick in the most recently, you know, made Wii consoles, but, you know, as far as supporting the console, they're making sure that most of the stuff that you have as you're going forward, yeah, you're still going to be able to keep with backwards compatibility and those controllers as well.
Well, I think they were talking more like about game releases and stuff like that. And I think part of it, and I'm kind of curious how much of this is true, even though I don't know. I wonder how much of 2011 and 2010 were kind of sacrificed because of the vitality sensor. It seems like it was going to be their big push, and they just kind of dropped it.
They didn't even tell anybody dropped it. It just vanished into thin air.
Yeah, and I'm kind of curious if they had some type of title, like if they had that scheduled as like the, you know, because like early 2010 was kind of dry for them, and early 2011 was really dry for them. But they had big titles for the second half of the year. It was the first half of the year that kind of suffered.
Yeah, I mean, 2010 was a great year for the Wii. I mean, the start of it may have started off slow, but it wasn't just the end. I think it was the whole second half.
Yeah.
Like, we thought that there wasn't going to be anything out, and then E3 came around, and it was like, oh, shit.
Personally speaking, I never think that, because it's the same. It's kind of their philosophy of this generation, where they don't have, like, aside from Zelda, and I think Zelda, Other M, and Galaxy were the only games, I think, that had some type of long build. Everything else was kind of announced within a year of its release. Excitebots being the extreme example, where I think that was announced 6 weeks before it came out. Punch-Out was announced like 5 months before it came out. Donkey Kong Country Returns was announced 4 months before it came out. So they kind of had that history where they'll announce a game at E3 and then they'll come out that Christmas. And it makes sense. I mean, you don't need a year and a half or two or 3 years of build-up, because that only leads to disappointment most of the time. But I will say that for the Wii and in general, I think that none of the other three platform makers could have supported a console on their own as well as Nintendo did with the Wii. There were huge gaps in releases. I think late 2008 was kind of dry. Summer 2009, most of 2011. They sat on some games that they shouldn't have. I mean, I still don't. Disaster Day of Crisis still seems like it was a game made for a Western audience. Xenoblade could have come out last summer with the European version. There's other games that I don't think would have had an audience, but you can try. It's not like they're broke. Captain Rainbow, Attack of Magic, that game from the Earth Defense Force people, Sagnar, whatever, had potential. But as a whole, I mean, for the majority of the 5 years, they've supported it better than any console maker could have on their own, except maybe Sega. They both had critically and commercially successful games, which is always what you can ask for. Hopefully with the Wii U, they work on their third-party support. I mean, I can't imagine what would happen if Nintendo ever had quality third-party support on their consoles, along with their first-party titles. But I guess we'll see that in 5 months when what happens. So anything else?
Oh, Puzzle Juice for the iPhone is pretty good. Just throwing that out there. I played it earlier today, and yeah.
It's a buck, right?
Yep.
Yeah, somebody on my timeline was mentioning that he needs friends. Maybe I can hook you up with him. He needs the competition. But yes, maybe we'll have a mobile game segment next week. But yes, I Anthony, Danu, Chad, myself, this has been Dueled in episode 55-ish.
Thank you.